Good afternoon. My name is Nathan Ramsey. I'm with Landisky Regional Council, and welcome to our weekly COVID-19 call. We've been hosting these calls, since around the 1st of April during the COVID health pandemic and also economic crisis that we're currently facing. We try to hold these calls to share information, things that are happening around the region, around the state, that can be helpful in helping individuals, organizations, local governments, and businesses respond to the COVID-19 health crisis. So today we're honored to have Drew Christie with the governor's office with us, and we always appreciate Drew for being with us. And also Karen Brinson Bell with the North Carolina State Board of Elections is also going to be with us. So before we get the call started, just a few housekeeping matters. Everyone that joins the call should be muted. And unfortunately, for security purposes, you cannot unmute yourself. So if you have any questions, any comments that you'd like to make, please add that to the chat function. If you have any, if you're not able to do that, you can text me at 828-768-3216. That's 828-768-3216. For any questions, you can also try to send me an email at nathan@landisky.org. Again, these calls are recorded, and we appreciate you join us for previous calls and information about how to respond to COVID-19, different resources that are available. You can go to the Landisky website at landisky.org. And click on the COVID-19 section, and that we try to have archives of these calls as well as resources available throughout the region and state. So I know people are joining the call as we speak, but I'll go ahead and turn it over to Drew to give us an update from the governor's office. Drew, thank you again for joining us on behalf of Governor Cooper.
Thank you, Nathan, for having me, and thank you to Landisky Regional Council for hosting these meetings. As per usual, I'll start off going over numbers, and then I'll move into some more substantive things. And I'm going to start off my numbers actually in reverse order today than normal. Today, I'll start off with DES numbers and then move into COVID numbers and then move into the other items. So as of today, we have almost $8.4 billion paid out in unemployment claims for 911,000, just over 911,000 claimants. 99% of all state claimants have been reviewed and accounted for. There's currently 13,000 people pending resolution for state benefits. So DES is doing well to get those monies paid out to folks that have applied for it. There have been a total of 2.6 million claims filed from March 15th through October 20th, so through 2 days ago. So there have been a lot of claims, and again, 99% of all claims have been reviewed and either accepted or denied by the state for state benefits. So moving on to COVID numbers. As of today, there have been 252,992 total cases of COVID-19. There have been a little over 3.7 million tests, and currently our day-to-day positive rate, we're right at about 6%. We have been hovering between 6 and 7% positive, so that's trending in the wrong direction. We want to see those numbers down 5% is what Secretary Cohen wants to see. And then unfortunately, there have been 4,082 deaths due to COVID-19. There are currently 1,205 people hospitalized. And in the last 24 hours, 130 people have been hospitalized due to COVID-19. So again, our numbers are not where we need them to be, where we want them to be. And because of that, yesterday, Governor Cooper announced that North Carolina will remain paused in phase three for three more weeks as health officials continue to monitor North Carolina's viral trends. North Carolina, as I've stated, North Carolina has seen an increased hospitalization and trajectory of cases in recent weeks. Governor Cooper underscored the importance of the three W's, wearing a face covering, social distancing, washing your hands frequently, and of course, using good judgment despite fatigue or frustration with the pandemic. Yes, we do understand it's frustrating, and you know, I'm tired of it. We're all tired of it. But if we want to get this under control to where we can reignite our economy the way we need it to be, we've got to remember these three W's. Also yesterday, Governor Cooper did provide some updates on the progress with the North Carolina Housing Opportunity and Prevention of Evictions, the HOPE program. Since Governor Cooper announced the HOPE program last week, 12,000 eligible applicants have filed for assistance. So that's great. But we want to make sure that people can get those applications in as quickly as possible. The HOPE program provides assistance to eligible low-income or low- and moderate-income renters experiencing financial hardship due to the pandemic by making direct payments to landlords and utility companies. People can apply for help by calling 211 or going to nc211.org/hope. 2 days ago, Secretary Cohen and Health and Human Services, and Department of Public Safety, Eric Hooks, sent a letter to local officials and communities with increased viral spread, urging their continued action fighting COVID-19 and suggesting additional measures to mitigate its spread. We as a state can only do so much. We need cooperation at the local level. And so this letter is to help continue the encouragement with local law enforcement to make sure that people are complying with these executive orders. And so that's all I have on the COVID-19 front. One big thing that happened that was announced today by Governor Cooper and the North Carolina Department of Commerce, 800 jobs are planning to come to Asheville as Pratt and Whitney selects North Carolina for a major facility. So there's been a major push for jobs, and Pratt and Whitney, which is a unit of Raytheon Technologies Corporation, is a world leader in the design, manufacture, and service of aircraft and helicopter engines and auxiliary power units. This new project in Asheville will lead to development of 1 million square foot advanced manufacturing facility. This investment will enable Pratt and Whitney to continue to modernize and transform its operations with cutting edge technologies. The average planned wage for new positions will be $68,000. And currently the average wage in Buncombe County is $43,000. So once all these new positions are announced or are filled, a $54 million payroll impact we felt on the area. So this is very good for not just Buncombe County, but for all the surrounding counties. If you'd like to see more, please let me know and I can send the press release to you, or you can go to the governor's website at governor.nc.gov and check out under press releases. And I see some questions in the chat there. But Nathan, I'll turn it back over to you And if anybody has any questions, feel free to put them in the chat box. I'll be happy to answer them.
Thank you so much, Drew, and appreciate you giving us that update from the governor. It seems like cases are spiking somewhat. I know locally that certainly happened in Madison County. You know, in some other places, we've seen an increase in COVID cases. And I think apparently that's true at the state level. I know they would like a positivity rate of under 5%. And I think it's a little above that now, so as you reported. Traditionally, in the western part of the state, we've actually had a lower number of cases than the state national number, which has been very positive. But appreciate your guidance there. And also to echo your comments on the announcement by Pratt & Whitney today, that was previously called Project Ranger. That location will be off of I-26 on property that's owned by Biltmore Farms. If you're driving what I've referred to as south, but it's east on I-26 between the Brevard Road and Long Shoals interchanges, right after you cross the French Broad River, you can see a construction site up on a hill, and that's where they've already started site work for that project. The building will be 1 million square feet, so that's about 25 acres just under roof. So it's a significant project, and although it's in Buncombe County, it really has a transformative impact throughout all of Western North Carolina. As we know, our workers will come to that site from many different counties. So I want to give a shout out to the team at Land of Sky that have been working on that project in support of our state and local government partners, as well as with working with Biltmore Farms and the Economic Development Coalition of Asheville and Buncombe County. So if you have any questions for Drew, please add those in the chat. There was a question regarding the impact on tourism. We can get you the numbers. The announcement today was made at the Omni Grove Park, and I was speaking with their general manager, and right now it's a busy time up at Grove Park. They're seeing a lot of strong business, but certainly it's probably not as strong as it would be if COVID wasn't a factor. So, and what the trend we're seeing, and I think our rural counties are actually seeing a spike in numbers. So for Transylvania and Madison, they're probably seeing even higher numbers than what they would normally experience, because a lot of tourists are trying to go to more isolated areas. So our national and state parks are being heavily utilized right now. And, you know, I don't know if y'all saw the news regarding Max Patch is a perfect example of, I guess we're loving our public spaces to death right now. So as people are trying to get out, but also be in places that they're not as crowded. So, appreciate the update from Governor Cooper. And Drew, again, thanks for joining the call. We're honored to have Karen Brinson Bell with the Executive Director with the North Carolina State Board of Elections. Ms. Bell previously served as the Elections Director in Transylvania County. So she has Western North Carolina roots. And I think Ms. Bell's a graduate of UNC Asheville. So no offense, Drew, but not everybody can go to App State. So I want to give a shout out to UNC Asheville, where I went to school. But Ms. Bell, thank you for joining us. And I know you're really busy today, and you have been as election season is underway. In North Carolina, we're seeing so much activity, but just wanted to see if you could give us an update of voting in North Carolina, all the different things that the state board has done, working with the county boards to make voting accessible during this time of COVID. And seems like more people are voting than ever. So I'll turn it over to you. And again, thank you for joining our regional call today.
Glad to do it. And thank you, Nathan. And good seeing you. Hadn't seen you in a while. So, and you know, you can call me Karen. Western North Carolina is very dear to my heart. I was born and raised in Duplin County. So with a father who was an economic development director for 24 years. So what you do is very dear to my heart as well. But I fled for the mountains and called the mountains home for 20 years. including my initial work with the State Board of Elections, was to actually serve the 12 westernmost counties of Western North Carolina. So, this has been, I feel odd down in the flatlands again, but nonetheless, I'm proud to serve the entire state now as state elections director, and I'm fortunate for my time in the western part of the state and to have been the elections director for Transylvania County. A great place to gain tremendous experience that I've tried to share across the state. I'm gonna show my screen just so, is that possible, Nathan? Thank you. And that'll help you see some of the numbers that I want to share.
I want to encourage all the participants, please be on good behavior, because previously we restrict screen sharing because we had some folks trying to Zoom bomb our meetings. So, but Karen, go ahead.
Sorry about that, Nathan. Thank you.
That's okay. That happened early in this process, so it was a learning experience for us all. But go ahead.
Thank you, Karen. All right. So certainly, sometimes I call this presentation conducting an election during a pandemic. That has not been done, obviously, in over 100 years. And I don't believe there's a playbook from 1918 to tell us how to do this. But so far, it has been very successful. It is a busy time. It's definitely the busiest out in the counties. Much of my work at the state level and what we've done thus far was to have a game plan, and now we're executing it. And thus far, it has gone tremendously well. So what I'll try to do is update you on where we are and then just give you some of the key deadlines and points to know about the three different methods of voting. And I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have. So by the numbers, we are 12 days from Election Day, but obviously voting has already started. It is, we're at our highest number of registered voters ever at 7.3 million registered voters. So this makes it the biggest election that we've ever conducted in North Carolina. The 11:30 a.m. numbers, I actually get a report about 1:30, so if there's anything amazing to share with you, I will, but I think just the numbers at 11:30 are amazing. To have 1.8 million ballots already be cast during our one-stop early voting, and this is just the first week of the 17-day period. We broke records on the very first day, not just for the turnout of the first day, but for any single day of our in-person early voting, with 336,000 ballots cast, if I remember correctly. Previously, the best day we had ever had across the state was 306,000 ballots cast. So amazing turnout, especially even in the first 3 days. It's slowed just a little bit, but that's typical as we get into the latter part of the first week. We have seen over 700,000 absentee ballots cast and accepted by the county boards of elections. So that does put us over 2.5 million ballots. And depending on which analyst you talk to or which crystal ball you look into, we're expected to have 5 million to 5.3 million ballots cast in this election in North Carolina. So with that, we are potentially halfway through the number of votes that will be cast. Of course, my hope is that we have 7.3 million votes cast, but that would not be typical. We have been planning for this election. Really, planning goes on from one presidential election to the next. So you could say over the past 4 years, but we have specifically been planning to conduct this election in a pandemic since we learned of our first case of coronavirus, which was March the 3rd, and it happened to be the day we were conducting the first Super Tuesday primary in our state to ever be held. So we have been learning from our state and federal partners. I participate weekly in the National Association of State Election Directors weekly call to learn from my colleagues around the state. And in some ways, we're fortunate that we did not have to conduct a statewide primary through the pandemic, but conversely, we are fortunate that we did not, because that gave us the preparation and we just learned from others instead of learning through trial and error ourselves. But we did have a second primary in 17 counties in the westernmost part of the state. The 11th Congressional District Republican second primary took place, and that did give us an opportunity to put some of our practices into play and to see how that would go. And I'm proud to say that it went very well. Voters were very cooperative. And in the end, we had very few incidences. And what we did were typical things we see in election administration. They weren't COVID related. It was in March that we decided to, as the state board and my role as executive director, to decide what was best for North Carolina. There was a big push to go to all mail balloting across the country, and we did not feel like that was the right step for North Carolina. And so in March, we announced that we would still provide all three voting methods and take measures to ensure everyone's safety and security through that process. Traditionally, only about 3 to 5% of North Carolinians vote absentee by mail. And so we felt like moving to an all mail balloting system, one, did not really comply with our state laws and practices, but two, that's a big learning curve. We have seen a tremendous uptick, obviously, in absentee voting. I mentioned earlier there, that we have over 700,000 ballots cast absentee by mail. And to give you some sense of that, in 2016, we did not even have 200,000 absentee ballots cast during that entire election. So tremendous response. And we obviously attribute that to the coronavirus and coronavirus concerns. We have still implemented in-person early voting and will do so for Election Day as well. And it's definitely been a coordinated effort between our state emergency management, Health and Human Services, all of our federal partners who helped secure us through cybersecurity concerns, but also the pandemic. And so we've worked hand in hand with them since we learned of the pandemic. We are a no excuse state, so we do require an absentee ballot request form for a voter to receive an absentee by mail ballot. We do not just mail without that request, but a voter does not have to state a reason why they want that ballot sent to them. We have had over 1.3 million requests actually made. We do not expect to receive those ballot packets back from all those voters who made a request, but we will see a significant number of those, which may mean we see about 20 to 30% of our ballots cast absentee by mail. The request can be made by the voter, their near relative, or legal guardian. Those requests must be in by October 27th, though we are highly encouraging folks, if they think that's the method that they want to vote, to go ahead and make that request now so that we have sufficient time to prepare that packet and get it to them, and they have sufficient time to return it to us. The request can be delivered in person, by mail, fax, or email. But most importantly, and probably the most efficient way, is the new online portal that was authorized with this election and we rolled out in September. This is just a screenshot of the portal. It's a very simple process. They can do it on their county board website or through ncsbe.gov, put in identifying information, and then electronically submit that request. It's also a portal that is used for our military and overseas citizens to not only make their requests, but to also cast their ballot online, which is something that we wanted to move forward with because of security measures. Previously, their electronic return, which is allowed, had been done by email, which is not as secure as using a portal for our military and overseas citizens. The absentee by mail ballot has to be witnessed in North Carolina. It had previously been two witnesses, but because of the coronavirus, a bipartisan bill was signed into law that allows for just one witness in this election. Someone who's 18 years of age does not have to be a registered voter or even a North Carolinian, but it does have to be witnessed. And they do provide their information, printed name, address, and a signature along with the voter's signature. The witness does not see how a voter voted their ballot, but they simply are attesting that they know that that voter was the person who voted the ballot. And then it's inserted into the envelope, and then they are able to return it to the County Board of Elections. They can do so by mailing it. The voter will need to apply a stamp. I mean, depending on what generation you are, you know that to be a 55-cent stamp, a first-class stamp, or a forever stamp, but nonetheless, a single stamp. And they could also deliver it in person to the County Board of Elections or a one-stop early voting site. If they return it to the County Board of Elections, they must do so by 5 p.m. on election day. We are encouraging voters that if they do want to drop it off in person or have their near relative or legal guardian do so, to do that to the County Board of Elections. Most of our County Board of Elections are not actual voting sites. So that means that there's a shorter line at this point to drop it off in person at the County Board rather than choosing to go to a one-stop early voting site because they may have to stand in line with other voters who are there to vote in person. If they choose to mail the ballot back, then it must be postmarked by election day. And then the County Board, as long as they receive it, which right now it's November the 12th, it's still a matter of litigation, so it might be November the 6th, but nonetheless, the key thing is to have the ballot envelope postmarked by election day. So that's another reason why we're encouraging folks to go ahead and get that ballot back to us. We do have a new tracking tool that voters can use called Ballot Tracks. They can sign up for information to receive alerts about their ballot, which can be email, text, or voicemail. We rolled this out also in September after getting the authorization in June. And we implemented intelligent mail barcoding for the first time in our state. So that means that the voter not only knows that their request has been received and that their ballot packet has been sent to them, but once they receive it and if they choose to put it back, send it back through the mail, they can follow the packet through the mail stream and know when it's received at the County Board of Elections. If someone goes to vote in person early voting ends October the 31st. Election day, of course, is November the 3rd. We are enforcing social distancing at our in-person voting. We are providing masks to every voter. There's a sufficient number of masks for each and every voter, as well as hand sanitizer. We're providing single-use pens that they'll be able to take with them. And for some, it actually indicates that they vote, it says, I voted in the 2020 election. So a little memento for this year. And then we also have cotton swabs, which often lead people to go, why would you have a cotton swab? But we do have ballot marking devices at our sites, either as the voting equipment at One Stop Early Voting or as the accessibility unit at any of our voting in-person voting places. And we have found that a Q-tip can be used as a disposable stylus. That's one of those things that you find out in the year 2020. Workers will be wearing their face masks and either a face shield or they'll be behind a protective barrier depending on what the task is to not only protect them but to protect the voters. They'll have gloves for certain tasks. They'll be doing extensive cleaning. Each voting booth will be cleaned after each voter. We'll also be continuing with curbside voting, which has been offered for years in North Carolina, but obviously for many reasons is very popular this year. So we're having to encourage people to be patient. Curbside voting does have a line as well. And that's even with adding additional curbside spaces and more workers to be the feet for the voter to and from the polling place. Someone can vote curbside if they are unable to enter the polling place due to age or disability. And of course, disability could be an illness or a condition that might cause them, you know, to be unable to enter the polling place. Let's see here. I should point out, and this is a really interesting thing, much of this has actually been covered through CARES Act through our state emergency management partners. We, as elections, received specific CARES Act funds that were distributed to the counties. There were some things that were issued to the state, but most of those funds went directly to the counties. But we put out a call to our state emergency management and said, if you can cover the PPE for us, then we can actually make use of those funds to help with the postage and the personnel and those additional costs that have been incurred by the counties because of conducting this election through a pandemic. They answered our call. They've also been our logistics and distribution services for all of this PPE, and they have distributed over 15 million PPE items across the state. The hand sanitizer was, all, for the most part, donated through Anheuser-Busch, McDonald's, and PayPal. I guess I'm sponsored by them now, but what a tremendous way for folks to step up. We've also received grants that have helped us with the pens and some of the other initiatives that we wanted to do that just could not be covered by the CARES Act funds. So it's really been an outpouring of support to the elections community, not just in North Carolina, but across the state. As we conduct in-person early voting, all sites by law are open from 8 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. on weekdays. And then the final Saturday or set hours, 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. I did issue an emergency order requiring counties to be open the first two weekends of early voting. Obviously, we've already gone through one of those for a minimum of 10 hours at each site on each of those weekends. Some have chosen just Saturday, some have spread it across Saturday and Sunday. So that does vary from county to county. We did this and also required a minimum number of sites, one per 20,000 or portion thereof, or a waiver if the site is sufficient to accommodate voters where they are not in long lines, and that also reduces their exposure to coronavirus. That was our motivation. We found that in previous elections, especially in some of our more rural counties, they had waits of 1,000, 1,500, sometimes 2,000 people in line on a single day. And given the pandemic situation, we knew we had to reduce those lines and reduce those wait times. And to do so, it required more hours and more sites. At one-stop early voting, a voter can go to any of those sites in the county, and that does not, you know, it's not specific to their residence. They also, if they have not registered to vote by the time of the one-stop early voting period, they can do what's called same-day registration, where they can register and vote during one-stop early voting. Once one-stop early voting ends, we do not have registration on election day, so someone would have to be already registered in order to vote on election day. Election day, obviously, November 3rd, polls are open 6:30 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. And if someone's in line at 7:30 p.m., they will be given the opportunity to vote. If they show up at 7:31 p.m., no luck. They'll be turned away. Voters do have to vote at their precinct polling location. If they go to a site that's not their precinct, they could have the option of voting provisional ballot, but they may not be receiving a ballot where they're actually eligible for all the contests. So we do encourage people to go to their precinct polling location, which is required by law on election day. The best thing that people can do right now is to plan their vote. We are strongly encouraging this. It's a phrase that's been put out there across the country. But what we mean by this is if they want to vote absentee by mail, make that request now and get it back to us. If they want to vote in-person early voting, recognize that, you know, there are multiple sites, figure out what time works best, but obviously there's peak times. And the final 3 days are always our peak days. So if folks can go ahead and cast that ballot this week, I think they'll find shorter lines than if they wait till the latter part of next week. And if they are going to vote in person on election day, to look up their voter registration information and check their polling location. If their polling location was moved, they did receive a postcard, but in the midst of all the mail that people are getting, we know it may be overlooked. So they want to check to make sure that site hasn't been moved. We did have to move some sites. I can tell you in Madison County, the Sandy Mush site did not have running water, so it had to be relocated. And we appreciate all the work that went into doing that there and in other parts of the state and in Western North Carolina. To ensure that there, you know, could be good hand washing practices and things of that nature. So that's why we're encouraging people to make sure they check their polling location. And with that, happy to answer any questions. And there's my contact information if you think of something after this session.
Well, please don't all email Karen at once. I think if 10 million people did that, that would be a little overwhelming to your inbox. So, Karen, thank you for being so incredibly accessible to us and sharing with us. We had a few questions in the chat, and I just want to follow up on a few things. I know this is maybe a prediction, so you're not, we won't hold you. If you're very good at it, though, we might go to Las Vegas together, but we'll to see if we can hit a jackpot. But what do you anticipate in a presidential year? You know, normally I think about 70 60%, low 70%, so really a record turnout. And that's just 70% of registered voters. So that doesn't mean, you know, 70% of all people who could be registered voters. What are you looking at based on these early voting numbers? Do you think it'll be a record year or close to a record year in that regard?
We are tracking for a record year. Before we started in-person voting, we thought we would be at probably about 70% again this year for participation. I'd say it's looking more like 75%. There's Dr. Charles Stewart at MIT is a fantastic analyst of election data, and he's got us somewhere between 70 and 75%. Specifically, he's thinking we might hit 5.3 million voters out of the 7.3. So we'll keep an eye on that. We think we'll probably be between 20 and 30% of ballots being cast absentee by mail. In-person early voting is our most popular method of voting in North Carolina. So we think we'll be, traditionally we would be closer to 60% for a lot of the counties, but we're figuring that absentee by mail may have absorbed some of that. So we're thinking 50 to 55% of the ballots will be cast during in-person early voting. But if you think about that, that means we're only going to see perhaps 20 to 25% of the votes cast on election day. And we'll still have almost 2,700 polling places open. So knock on wood, that could actually be our quietest day, if you could even imagine. That's what we're looking at.
I think historically, has North Carolina ever hit 75% of turnout of registered voters?
Not in recent years. I'd have to go probably back more than 20 years or so to even find us close to that.
But if you think of the 2008 elections or other elections, you know, that were highly contested and we thought we had really strong turnouts. So that's incredibly impressive. Couple of questions. You know, you're hearing nationally because in some elections, especially at the state level or local level, they may be, you know, really incredibly tight margins. So, you know, we had in 2016 statewide races that were decided by, you know, 10,000 votes or so. And, you know, in the past we've seen. And so when you're talking about that few number of votes out of millions of votes cast, it's incredibly small numbers. But there's been a discussion about, will we even know the result of elections on election night? I guess you would if, you know, if it's an overwhelming vote one way or the other. But where do you think North Carolina will be in that mix?
So we, you know, it is going to come down to how close those margins are. When I mentioned that we may have, you know, 20 to 30% cast absentee by mail and possibly 50 to 60% with the one-stop early voting, that means what we do is we go through a series of absentee board meetings. It used to be 3 weeks prior to an election, and now it's 5 weeks because of coronavirus. So since September 29th, our county boards have been having meetings where they approve those ballots and they process those ballots, meaning they are able to open the envelopes, remove the ballot, and insert them into a tabulator. We go through chain of custody and reconciliation. But we don't know the results. We don't go to tabulate or hit the results button until election day. Same thing with our one-stop early voting. We will turn those results to tabulate on election day, but we'll release those results at 7:30 p.m. So if we actually hit that 80% mark with our early, you know, cast ballots, then, you know, if it's a wide margin, then even before we get the results in on election from the election day precincts, we may know some of the winners. But if it's a tight race, we'll obviously be looking very carefully at those precinct results. It may be a slower election night getting those in because they do have to bring in the media that will be read in from the County Board of Elections and then aggregated up to the state board. And they've got to also deal with cleaning and so forth because of coronavirus. So that may slow them just a little bit. But, you know, it'll still be unofficial on election night. We'll have our 10-day canvas period where we'll be considering provisional ballots as well as any of those absentee ballots that are properly received or postmarked but received after election day. So that's where it could really get interesting if we have some tight races. And so we'll make those results official on November the 13th at the county board level, and then the state board is scheduled to meet on November the 24th.
Well, thank you, Karen, for that response. few other questions came through the chat. One on the witness signatures. I know there's been some controversy over that. Have you seen much concern there? Or I know there may be litigation or other things, maybe some things you can't talk about, but can you speak at all about the witness signature on the absentee ballot?
Yes, I actually can. That part has been resolved. No party has filed any further litigation. So the decision by Judge Osteen, and then what was finalized in state court as well, is that we have a cure process for some errors that may have been on the absentee ballot envelope. And then there's certain ballots that we will be sending a new packet to the voter. Specifically to sending them a new packet is if they did not have a witness signature, or if they indicated they had assistance but did not have an assistance signature, then those individuals will be issued a new ballot. If the voter's signature is missing, or the printed name or printed address of a witness, the voter can cure that with a cure affidavit form that will be mailed to the voter and also emailed to them if we have that on file. All parties agreed that would be the way we would go, and so that is in effect.
Well, thank you so much. That's certainly helpful. I know, and people can still, even at this date, request an absentee ballot, is my understanding. I know Landiscai Regional Council is an early voting site and election day voting site this year for Buncombe County. And we had some folks come by and want to drop their absentee ballot off to us. And that was outside of the election time and or when early voting was open. And we told them we could not accept those ballots. But I think they can even drop them off at an early voting site. I guess the issue is the longer you wait to request an absentee ballot, you have some risk of being not able to get it in on time.
That's right. That's why we're encouraging them to make that request now, because we obviously have to turn that packet around, get it in the mail, and you've got the time for delivery there. We have said that people should not only make their request by the 27th, but we really want them to send their packet in by the 27th when they voted their ballot. The 27th is by law, but the 27th in terms of making the request, but by practice, we know even by alerts from the Postal Service that if they get their voted ballot in the mail by the 27th, then it should be postmarked properly and back to the Board of Elections. So we definitely are encouraging that. And it's just what I also will stress is that if someone decides that they, you know, they did request the ballot, but have now decided that's not the method they want to use, they can discard it and go vote in person. If they have voted it, they're going to show up in our system as having voted, and they will be issued a provisional ballot if they think that that's an error, but they will be in our system as having voted.
But they won't have to worry about any fear of double voting. If like you weren't sure if your absentee ballot went in, you voted at a in-person site, you don't have to worry about, oh, they're going to get me for double voting.
No, there are issues if someone intentionally does that, but if they've just made the request and go and vote in person, then they aren't going to be in the system just for having made the request. But if they go and vote in person and then we receive their absentee ballot, for example, that in-person vote's going to count first, and we would not accept the ballot that we receive in the mail after they voted in person.
We had a couple of questions on, I know, you know, it's really a heightened emotion, national election, statewide election, local election. Have you noticed any security issues or voter intimidation? Or I know, have you seen that at all yet? Or, locally it seemed to go relatively smooth.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm going to knock on wood. I think most of the what we're hearing about that, it's certainly out there, and it's something that we're concerned about nationwide, and we receive briefings on situations. But all in all, the circumstances that we've had across North Carolina have been very minimal and really just on par with what we've had in other elections thus far. And we hope that it'll stay that way. It's actually been, I'm hearing more about how kind and patient people are being. Obviously, we have our one-off situations, but all in all, we don't have any particular threat. And what situations we have had have been just, one situation, not anything statewide or even countywide.
And we had a question, and I think I saw a national story on this, but have you had any examples of people installing like a fake ballot drop location or anything like that? So, you know, it's easy for people to get misled and that someone places says, here's a ballot collection box, but it's not, so.
Nothing has been reported to us. That did happen in a few other states. You know, we were very clear and have tried to communicate that North Carolina law does not allow for us to have actual drop boxes because we do ask the question and log if someone's the voter, near relative, or legal guardian, and those are the only people who are supposed to drop off a ballot. We just have drop sites, and that being the County Board of Elections or the the one-stop early voting sites when they are operational. And so when someone does present that ballot at one of those sites, they are asked that question. Are they the voter, near relative, or legal guardian? And that's why we don't actually have drop boxes.
Well, Karen, is there anything else you want to share with us? This has been incredibly informative. And again, really appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule. 100 counties, 7 million voters, and you're kind enough to take some time with the folks here at Land of Skies. So we're really grateful for that.
Well, I'm very appreciative. I love knowing that your office is one of our voting sites, and thank you for doing that. And thank y'all. I mean, I know that y'all have different roles within county government, and you're helping us to make this possible. It's been truly a partnership effort. We wear a lot of hats in election administration. Have certainly added cybersecurity to one of the hats that we wear, and now this year it's public safety, but we're not experts in that. And so it's really taken a coordinated effort with emergency management, county management, and you know, our health officials to really know how to carry this out. So thank you, and thank you for the support that you've given to the county boards of elections.
Well, and Karen, I love your lapel pin.
Yes,
for those that are joining us from phone and maybe can't see Karen, and I see she's got a face covering that says vote. I know some of our local Board of Election staff and our local election directors have that face covering. But, you know, the old saying, we'll just say go vote. You can't do it often, one time an election, but please go vote. And North Carolina makes it incredibly easy. So we're blessed to live in a state where it's generally pretty accessible. I don't think I've voted on election day since 2000 when early voting first began. It's really convenient to just get it out of the way. And, you know, to be able also to register and vote, it's always was confusing to me that, you know, you can actually register and vote the same day during early voting, but we can't do that on election day. So it's a little confusing there. But to your point, those early voting sites, you don't even have to pick out your right precinct, you know, and sometimes people are confused because precincts change and things. I know they're supposed to get a notice from the Board of Elections, but maybe they didn't see that. So, you know, with early voting, you can vote at any early voting site within your home county. So that makes it incredibly convenient. In addition to that, no excuse absentee. You don't need to say you're going to be out. I think at one time the law was you've got to be, say you're out of town, you're working, or you had to come up with some excuse. But now absentee ballot, you can request that with no excuse. That's correct. So Karen, thank you so much. And again, stay safe. I hope, you know, when it comes down to voting, you'll vote for Western style barbecue over Eastern style barbecue. But we won't get into, you know, controversial topics like that. Yeah. We'll stick to non-controversial topics like elections. So,
that's more controversial than the work I do. So we'll stay out of that one. Yeah, thank you, Nathan.
Down in Rutland, they tend to serve Eastern style. But thank you, Karen. And I know for Duplin County, you may be able to enjoy some Duplin wine or something with that. But thank you so much. I appreciate everyone joining us for today's call. Just want to remind you, we'll have a Land of Sky Council board meeting. The Board of Delegates will meet next Wednesday at 12:30. And we're excited Dr. Anita Brown Graham with the UNC School of Government will be joining us for that meeting. We'll share how local governments can help their communities respond to COVID-19. And also we're having a Western North Carolina energy update. So Duke Energy, Dominion Energy, and Buncombe County government are going to talk about some energy projects they've been working on. which includes renewable energy projects, energy efficiency projects. And I know other local governments in our region are working on that, but Buncombe County volunteered to do that. I reached out to our local election directors and tried to get someone on today's call, and to Karen's point, they're incredibly busy right now, so they weren't able to join us, but we really appreciate all of their work and their support. So if you have any questions, you can reach out to me at nathan@landofsky.org or go to the Land of Sky website at landofsky.org. Again, thank you for everything you do. Stay safe, stay well, and we're always here to support the work of our counties, our cities and towns, in the communities that we serve in Buncombe, Henderson, Madison, and Transylvania counties. So thank you so much, and everyone have a wonderful day.